today we're going to have our final shiur on Hafarshas Challah. We're going to do the beginning of Siman Shin Lamed. We're not going to read all the dinim. They're not also relevant to us. We'll just start with Halal Chalav. Isas Levi Kichavim Pitura. If someone who's not Jewish owns a dough, then it's part of Hafarshas Challah. A few Lush Yisrael, even if a Yid did the Lisha, he was the one who needed it. We know that Hafarshas Challah depends on the needing of it. But it doesn't make a difference if it depends on who owns it at that time. Right? You can't eat it with milk. You can eat it separately. But even if he doesn't need it, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it's owned by someone who's not Jewish, then it's not having Hafarshas Challah. And that's the reason why in most of our companies we don't do Hafarshas Challah. Because most of these kind of companies are owned by someone who's not Jewish. So even if the employees are Jewish, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, Michelle, Yisrael. If it belongs to a Yid, it's Chayav Hafarshas Challah. Even if the person who's working is not Jewish, so in North Shore Bakery, it's owned by a Jewish person, that the employees who do the actual kneading might not be Jewish, still Chayav Hafarshas Challah, because it's owned by Yid. That's what it depends on. Whoever owns it at the time of the kneading, that's when it's Chayav. Okay? Now, it even clarifies that Nasna Yisrael B'matana, Imashla Gilgal, Nasna Chayav, Imachar Shigal, Nasna Petura. It all depends on the time of the gilgul, of the time of the mixing the flour with the water. Okay? I'm not reading every word here. That's all that's irrelevant. Then Halacha Beis says, Yisus Hashutlim Chayedes. If two people own a batter together, it's still Chayedes Nefarshas Chal. It doesn't have to be just owned by one person. Okay, so that brings up the obvious question of Halacha Gimel, which is, we said if someone who's not Jewish owns it, it's Potter. We said if Shutfin owns it, it's Chayev. So what happens if one Shutfin is a Yid and one is a Goy? What's the din in that case? So it says, Halacha Gimel, Yisroel Shutfin Bav Kichavim. So now, someone who's Jewish and not Jewish are Shutfin. So one of them would be Chayev, one of them would be Potter. So which one is it? So the din is, in Ein Bechel Ka Yisroel Kashir Petura. What it depends on is the Yid's Chelik have a Shir. So if the batter of dough is, the batter of dough is 50 pounds, the batter of dough is 50 pounds, 50 pounds, the batter of dough is 50 pounds, and the Yid owns a 20% ownership of the dough, so his 20% ownership is worth 10 pounds, he owns 10 pounds worth, so it's Chayav Chala. The amount that he owns would be an amount to be Chayav Chala. What happens if the whole dough is 10 pounds? It's holding his 10 pounds and he owns 20%, you know, 20%, then the Yid's share is only 2 pounds, he's not Chayav Nefarshas Chala. So it all depends, but there's a Shutfis, you find that if the Jew's portion is equivalent to enough to be Chayav Nefarshas Chala, then Chayav Nefarshas Chala, and if not. Okay, not so relevant to us. Okay, so there are more dinim about people who are not Jewish and other people who are potter. We're not going to go through those dinim. Okay, so so this makes a difference for most of our factories. Most of the bakeries that we would give hashgacha to commercially are not owned by someone who's Jewish. There's no chiyuv hafarshas challah that we don't think about. Okay, there's one reputable hashgacha. What they do is, when they have a Jewish-owned bakery, what they do is, they say, we don't want to deal with Hafarshas Challah. So what we do is, they make sure that all the dough belongs to someone who's not Jewish. Okay, at the time of the Gilgul, at the time that you mix the flour in the water, the owner is not the Jewish owner who owns the factory. And therefore, they don't deal with Hafarshas Challah. They don't have to deal with Hafarshas Challah. I don't know if they do that on local bakeries, but on commercial accounts, that's what they do. What they do is, they make sure that when the factory gets deliveries of flour, they take ownership of that. The not Jewish person at the plant takes ownership of the flour. Now, before I tell you the details of what they do, in very short, the details of what they do, their place it points out that there's a big mileage, there's an advantage of this over other times that we do mechiras, okay? You know, other times that people do mechiras, the two common ones are mechiras chametz. Okay, we said, I own chametz before Pesach, and I want to sell it to someone who's not Jewish. And the other one is a behemoth of mevakeres, an animal that's about to give birth to its firstborn. It would be a bechor, which has all kinds of serious kedushas and issues to deal with. So you sell the animal before the baby is born, so that when it gives birth to a bechor, it won't have kedusha to it. So this place he points out, he says, in both of those cases, you have something that belongs to the Yid, and now you have to do a kinyan to sell it to the guy. So you got to get it from me to him, which has challenges to it. Okay, it's not so easy to make a kinyan from a Yid to sell a guy something that's metallic. Not so easy. He said, but in this case, we're not selling it from the Yid to the guy. We're just saying it's the Yid never owned it. The buying of this flour, the guy bought it. It's not bought by the Yid. The Yid who owns the factory doesn't buy the flour. He's not He never bought it. So it's easier to say that the yin did nothing al pitin tyra and al pitin the machusa. We avoid his taking ownership. If he never owns it, that's easier than trying to sell something that he owns. Okay, it takes away from a little bit from the harama and makes it a little less serious.
Now, but he never owned it
because he never did make a kinyan. The yin who owns the factory,
he's selling the company or selling the dough.
He doesn't sell. The guy buys. The buyer is the person. So in other words, the company makes an order. The company makes orders flour, but they don't order for the company. They order for John, who works in the company. So that the company never bought the flour. So what they do is, okay, but before I get to the kinyan that he makes, their point is that they're avoiding the yid ever owning. It's not that the yid owns it, now we have to get it out of his rishos. The yid never takes possession of it in the first place. He never owns it in the first place. He has to now get rid of it. Now,
how's that? He writes a check. So
he goes like this. So they said, three and a half things that they have to do. First of all, three and a half. One is, the yid has to have in mind he doesn't want to make a kinyan. He says, I'm not the kind of the flower. Okay, let me just say what he says. Second is, he writes a contract. Okay, he writes a contract that says that anytime this company buys flour, it's not being bought by me, it's only bought by John. Okay, he's the one who owns the thing. Second is, he should give the chutzner, the place where the flour gets stored, let's say they have a bin or they have a warehouse where they keep the flour, the guy takes ownership of that, so he makes a kinyan chutzner in it also. Okay, so by doing this, he throws in also another thing, there's usually no kinyan mois, whatever you want to call it, because people don't pay for things live. You know, when a company get a truckload full of flour, they don't, you know, give the guy a dollar and say, give me my flour. You know, they get billed later, so there's no kinyan mois. And all the other kinyanim, the guy is doing it. There's one more. He says, there's a shaila, whether a guy can make a kinyan chotzer if he's not standing there. We once talked about it. If chotzer mitam yad, and chotzer mitam shlichus, and ain't shlichus achim. So it would really be better, this is the half, it would be better if every time they got a delivery of flour, the John, who's taking ownership, would stand next to the place where they get the delivery suit to take the ownership of it. Okay, so if you did all these things, he says you don't have to. You could be making this household charge. You can make on that. He says, so if you did all these things, then that person takes ownership of it, and now he owns the flour. And that's what they do. They do this on a regular basis. Okay, now there's a huge downside to this. Aside from the questions of is this a harama, are you allowed to do such a thing, is that all of this has a huge disadvantage over mechiras chametz and selling the behemah. When you sell a behemoth, that's having a bechor. Or you have a do mechiras chametz, it's a one-time thing. Today I sell it, and tomorrow I buy it back. Okay, so it's a one-time thing that has to be done, and everyone has to sit around, and Rabbi Reese sits at the table, and they make this kinyan and that kinyan. They do all the technicalities they have to do, and then after Pesach, he meets the guy again, and he makes all the kinyan back, and they do all, everything is controlled. Okay, but that's not what's going on here. Here, this is an ongoing thing. Twice a week, the company gets deliveries of flour, and twice a week, we're counting on them doing all this stuff. Twice a week, we're counting on that he owns the warehouse, and he has in mind to do this. I mean, do you think the people in the purchasing department, 2 years later, when they order, say, you know, we need another truckload of flour, they have in mind, no, we're not being kind of this for us, we're buying kind of for the other guy.
Everything else is ongoing.
Well, no, it's also not ongoing because does the owner really mean to say you own the warehouse? Right. So you're saying to the owner, you need to say he owns all your flour. He owns all your wheat.
Have the guy do the ordering.
Right, and yes, so maybe the person who ordered, but on paper it says, this warehouse and every time we buy flour all belong to John. Really? Is that what he's going to do? And he's going to make a kinyan back? There's no way to make a kinyan back without someone standing there to do the technicality.
Why can't you make a kinyan back?
Wait,
it's still there.
Okay. No, it's not the
company.
John owns the flour. John owns the flour. Right. They bake with his flour, and they sell the cookies, and then they keep the money. Yeah. So I guess they could do that. I guess they could do that. But
it all
builds into the harama, to the how it doesn't look so straight. Okay. But they say, listen here. But so now we're headed to where we're, so to speak, really headed. Okay. Which is this is I was telling you the hashgacha. There's a hashgacha. I had heard that they did it, and I call them. Yes, they still do it. Okay. With a reputable
person.
No, I'll tell you afterwards. Okay, so they threw in another thing. I don't remember, we took that in Pasi Israel. There's a shach that says that if you don't own the company, it must be Pasi Israel. It has to be Pasi Father. Ramosh is true about it. They say, so we avoid that problem also. We don't have to be Samach on Ramosh. Okay, fine. It's all fine. But anyhow, so what's the reason why they're doing this? Okay, underlying this whole idea to sell the flour to the guy, that whole plan, this whole plan, which is not so, we can say, not so straight, not so simple, underlying this whole plan is, they don't believe in the Tevel system. Okay, that's what's underlying this, is that everybody else has a different way of dealing with this problem, which is the Tevel system. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And underlying the idea to, let's get rid of the flower, let's make sure somebody doesn't own it, is, we don't really believe in the Tevel system. Okay, so we're going to take that as an opportunity, especially since it's our last time, to go over, we talked about the Tevel system many, many times. So I'm going to go through a summary, really briefly, relatively briefly, a summary of the Tevel Hafrasha system, and what were the difficulties and shilas at the world that came up with it. And as we go through it, really what we're explaining is, aside that for us that we're reviewing it, is what was going on here. Why do these people not want to be samach on, why do they not want to be samach on the Tevel system? Okay? So I'm going to divide what I have to say into three parts. Okay, the slides are made a little late, so it would be nicer if I was made more on time. I don't even know if it's going to work. Okay, I'm going to break into three things. There's going to be time-related questions, as you see on the top, something about the remote Hafrasha, and things about the act of the Hafrasha. Okay, a whole bunch of issues, of potential questions and issues to throw. Okay, the most, before I go, let me just remind everybody what it is. Tevel Hafrasha system means this. The company keeps making dough. A yid bakes Tevel dough, or he takes Tevel matzah, and he puts it into the factory, and every morning he gets up and says, you should know, every time that the company makes a lisha, every time they make a batter of dough, another little bit of the dough that's in my Tevel matzah, or my Tevel dough, is going to become challah on that batter. Okay, so if they make 12 batters today, then 12 little pieces become challah. He makes a cheshbon of how much he did. He knows that in his batch that he made, there's room for 500 hafrashas. He knows they make 10 hafrashas a day, so then every so often he needs to replace it to make sure he has enough tevel, so to speak, that's it.
You say tevel, okay. This means tevel for challah, right?
Tevel l'chal, yes.
Tevel
for anything. Well, I haven't shown it. No, tevel l'chal. For our purposes, for us, that's tevel. Okay? So I split my as we're going to go through things, in tevel don't tevel matzah, because there are advantages to one over the other. So as we go through, we'll talk about what the things are, and we'll separate them like that. Okay. The most significant issue that there is for the tevel system, okay, is that for a couple of months in the summer, they're being mafresh from batter from one year on the other. Okay, you're not allowed to be mafresh from this year's flour on last year's, or the other way around. And for a couple of months in the summer, as we spoke about, the tevel matzah that's there in the factory was made from last year's flour, and the dough that the cookies or the bread they're making is from this year's flour. Okay, it's possible to cut that down. You could try to get it just for a couple of weeks instead of 3 months. You can cut it down to a certain number of weeks, but it's not impossible to avoid it in factory situations, as we spoke about that. Logistically, it's almost impossible to solve it. In a tevel dough system, okay, when you're dealing with tevel dough, it's a little easier to manage, and that's because when the company, as a rule, know when they're getting in the new flour, it makes a difference to the protein levels, and they will often know. So the mashgiach can arrange potentially to make sure he comes back when the time is, make up a new batch of tevel dough at the right time. Okay, with tevel matzah, it's come out impossible to deal with it. Rabelski had a reason why maybe for chal sutzarzu should not be. Most of the people did not accept that. Living and otherwise, people who are living otherwise didn't agree with it. I'm saying implicit. His shita, which was in chalas chutzaretz, there should be no din of being mafresh from one year on the other one. It's all over that everyone assumes that it is like that. Okay, next. The person who makes the hafrasha, in our case, Rabbi Oppenheimer, who says every day he gets up and says this, the hafrasha should happen the following way, has a little bit of a difficulty, which is to say, if he makes, let's say he's sitting there today, actually it's a very good case right now, he's going to sit there this morning, and he says, for these and these companies, every time they make a new batter, there's going to be a hafrasha. Until the next time I say this. Well, the next time he says this is going to be on Tuesday morning, because it's going to be on Yom Tov, Shabbos, and it's Sunday and Monday. He's not going to say it until Tuesday morning again. So what happens if the company gets a delivery of flour after he said it, but they already used it before he made the new hafrasha? Okay, so he can't make a hafrasha on things that the company doesn't have yet, or it's questionable. If he can make hafrasha what they don't have yet, so he's going to be making hafrasha and saying, I'll be mafresh chal for each thing. They get a delivery an hour from now, they bake with it on Monday, and the baked goods go out, and he was never mafresh chal for those things.
So however it is.
What? No, no, no. He said, but his wording is, when they mix the flour in the water, I want hafrasha to happen. He's not able to, because... So, if he would say is, that the fact, the stuff that happened already, he would avoid that problem. So, sometimes in the midst of...
Is that a close house?
This is for commercial bakery. Right. Most in a lot of the people who say, I'll be mocked from every batter that'll be for the future, and any ones that I miss. They'll throw in any ones that I miss in case they missed one from yesterday, which is fine because it's chal sotzar, you can eat it as long as there's some left over. You know, by the time he
can't even have to do it every day.
So they do it every day to try to keep up with new things coming out and being mafresh where it goes out. Right, but he could say it every, like this time, he's not going to say it from Friday till Tuesday. He's not going to say it until Tuesday morning. But by Tuesday morning, the whole dough won't be eaten up yet. It might have been baked and shipped out, but it won't be eaten up, and he could do that first. Okay.
Is that more of a evidence?
It's Jewish companies. Jewish companies have to be, not from.
I'm talking about a Jewish owned industrial company. I'm not talking about Northern Bakery.
That's like the open market.
Lots of them, yeah. There are lots of companies that open every Shabbos. I mean, this really every Shabbos. But here it's even more, because we have a couple of days. But it's the same thing. You're on every Shabbos, okay? And then that doesn't make a difference if you're using Tevel Dough, Tevel Matzah. It's the same. That's the same kind of issue.
We don't pay stuff.
On Pesach, yeah. Okay. And the next is, there's a question, is when he says, I'm going to be mafresh everything that happens from now until then, from now until the next time I say this, means is he's making hafrashas challah on Shabbos and Yontas.
Right.
He's between now and Tuesday, if the company keeps on baking, he's making hafrashas challah between now and on Tuesday. So if you remember, we spoke about then, Rabbi Krieger brings it, the Magen Avraham says, it's not a problem. It's okay if I do something today that sets in motion something's going to happen on Shabbos. It's going to happen on Shabbos. Chazon Ish says it's okay. Shmuel Shabbos Chazon says that it's okay. Rabbi Krieger himself is not so happy about it. Rabbi Krieger himself says that he can't set up a kinyan. He can't set up a kinyan that it should happen. You do something today that it will come into effect on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Something you wouldn't be allowed to do on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's what the question is about. That's what they talk about it. So this issue. I mean, again, most people think that it's not a problem altogether. And this issue could be avoided if instead of him saying, I'm being mafresh for whatever batters that come in the future, and I'm covering myself for anything that came in the past, if he would say is, I'm being mafresh only for the past, if everything he would say is, I'm now being mafresh for every dough that was made that I didn't do hafrasha on yet, I'm being mafresh now, then it would also be good. Okay, he would avoid that problem also. Okay, no one says that. Some people say the other way. They say, I'm doing it for the future and anyone that I miss. But according to this, you would avoid this problem by saying, I'm only doing for the past.
Whichever is better, according to Allah.
If you say what? No. And that's not what they say. They say, I'm going for the future. If I miss any, I want for the best.
And
whichever is better. Okay. I'm not sure. Okay. Fine. Okay. So that's our time-related questions. Okay. Next. The fact that the hafrasha is going on remotely, okay, in other words, if in your home, when you make bread, you take off a piece and you do it right there. Okay. Here we're doing this remotely. Okay. The fact that we're doing it remotely brings up another five questions. Okay. The simplest is that when you're doing it with a system, that you put the tevel there, and then you do hafrasha, means is that you, as a rule, it's only going to be wheat flour. Okay. It's so with tevel matzah for sure, they only make tevel matzah of wheat flour. That's what they make it out of. But if they're doing other grains, then you potentially have a problem. With tevel dough, it's solvable. You could solve that with tevel dough, because you can make tevel dough wherever you want to.
Can matzah grow anything
too? No, it has to be tevel matzah. It has to be matzah known as mafresh halva.
They make the tevel matzah.
But in practice, that's not happening. That's not what's happening. In practice, they're doing it from wheat flour.
Why do you rely on it? Because it's all called dough? It's all called
no,
grain?
You don't rely on anything. No. That's one of the reasons why we prefer using tevel dough instead of tevel matzah.
What happens if we have a company that makes oatmeal cookies?
Okay, so that's only for the video. Another thing is, Shlomo Miller said that he had reason to think that you can't be mafresh from baked goods on raw dough, or the other way around. Okay, that's what he brought. He had such a thing. He said that Shlomo Zalman says it's not a problem. Okay, but most people say that it's mutter. Okay. That's not really a concern. In tevel dough, of course, it's not an issue because it's doing from dough on dough. Okay,
it's baked because
he
missed it.
Oh, if I do for yesterday's. Okay, no, I didn't think of that.
The blue rock is also baked.
Blue rock is also it's just okay. That's a good point. I didn't think of both of those. Okay, but again, most people think that it's both right now. Okay, another big issue that we have. is that when you do the hafarsha remotely, what you're doing is like this. You're saying is, this is box of matzah, mm-hmm. this batch of dough, and a little piece is going to, I'm going to make this little piece, hafarsha on that, what the company just made. Okay. Well, the Makor Chaim says that when you do that, when you do hafarsha, when you take a piece of the hafarsha for something, it makes the whole original dough also chulin. You can't make hafarsha only on a part of the dough and not on the other half. Okay? If you have this big thing, you can't say, I'm doing hafarsha on this side, but not on this side. Okay? We talked about it. Just give me. Mekarheim brings a riot that he thinks that it's not true. You can't be marvish on half. Okay, you can only be marvish on the whole. You're marvish on part, the whole thing becomes half of part. That's what he starts off to say. If so, the whole tevel system would be out the window. Okay, the minute you did one half first, you'd be finished. Okay? Dorovsky said, how could that be? He says, it's Mishnayis. There's like five Mishnayis in a row that say you could do this. Okay, they talk about doing this. They don't talk about tevel systems and industrial bakeries, you know, but they talk about doing this, doing hafarsha just for part of it, and let it part had hafarsha and part of it did not have it. Okay, so Rabowski wanted to say was, okay, that the Makor Chaim is only talking about cases when you did the hafarsha on the thing itself. You said, I want to take off this little piece to be hafarsha on the right side of what I have, and not on the left side. But if you're doing it on something else, then it would work. Okay, that in itself would cause its own issues. Shlomo didn't think like that. He thought the answer from the Mishnayos was that the whole deal of the Makor Chaim is by Chalas Chutz Aretz. Okay, if you remember, we spoke about in Chalas Chutz Aretz, there might not be such a thing as Tevel altogether. Okay, it might just be a Mitzvah HaFrosha. So by Chalas Chutz Aretz, once you did the Mitzvah HaFrosha, there's nothing more to do anymore. Fine, it's still Tevel left over. By Chalas Aretz, it's not like that. Okay, which is a good answer. It's just hard to read into it. Nobody says that then. Nobody says that applies here and not over there. Lamaisa is, the good news is, many people argue in the Makor Chaim, and guess what? Even the Makor Chaim argues in the Makor Chaim. Okay, by the end of the piece, he says he brings a riot that he's not true. He says, I don't know why it's true. He says, but it brings a riot that it's not true. That in fact, you could be mafresh on part and not on the other part, and that's good enough. And Dain Weiss actually himself says, talks about the Tevel HaFrosha system, and says that you shouldn't be worried about this problem. Okay. Okay. A big issue. The other one we consider not such a big issue. A big issue is that when you do a remote hafrasha, you're going to end up kemat in every single case that the hafrasha is going to be shlem in a mukaf. Okay, mukaf means is that when you mafresh from one thing on another, they have to be reasonably close to each other. Okay, there's a whole to do. What does it mean to be mukaf? And you bring it in front of him. There's a question of exactly what it means to be mukaf. If we were dealing with tevel dough. Okay, if we were dealing with tevel dough, it would be more possible to get it into the same room as I'm sorry, if we're doing tevel matzah, it's easier to get it into the same room than tevel dough. Tevel dough's got to be in a freezer, okay? But kosher cane is, if we say like the grow, if you remember the grow was very clear and very to the point to explain what it takes to be mukaf. And in short, the grow said is that if the finger is in a kli, and the kli is covered, then it's impossible for it to be mukaf. Even if the kelim are not covered, then the kelim have to be touching each other. Okay, well, getting the kelim to touch each other is completely hopeless. Okay, and if the kelim are sealed, are closed, then obviously, he said you can't be mukaf no matter what you do. Okay, so there may be those who are going to grow up. It wasn't clear if there were. And mukaf is only dealing with chathila. It's only dealing with chathila. But the mice is, the hafrasha that we're doing is not, is seemingly a shleim in mukaf, to the point that there's at least one person I know who says he doesn't even try. He doesn't even waste his time. Say, I'm not even going to bother putting it into the factory. I'll just leave it in my own freezer because I know I'm not going to be in the mukaf anyhow, so I might as well just take it to me. I know something like that. Okay. So, okay. The last for this section is that when you do hafrasha, I'm doing hafrasha, not in the bakery itself. Okay, let me go back to Norsha. In Norsha bakery, the people, even if the person does hafrasha is not the owner is in and out and around, and the Mechaber Bua, he's giving you implicit permission to do the hafrasha. When you're doing it in a remote location, then you lose out on that. Okay, there's no contact between the owner and the person doing the hafrasha. So with time, you lose out on this problem of shlichus.
It's in the contract.
It could be in the contract, but you lose out on it. And even that has its issues, because you can't make shlichus on... You can't make shlichus on something that doesn't even exist yet. Okay, you can't make shlichus on a flower that wasn't even, I make time contract today that you should be my shlich in 12 years from now. We talked about that, whether you can or you can't do that. We talked about that, whether you can or you can't, whether you can or cannot do that. But we avoid this problem because if the yid owns the tevel matzah, which is pretty easy. It's easy to own tevel matzah because we give it to the company. Or if we make the tevel dough and take ownership of it, then there's kamach, no one who would have a problem with it because we say schim tam shlichas. You could, I'm sorry, we say zochalam shavfanam. Let me say it better. Zochalam shavfanam. If it's our stuff, we could do zochalam shavfanam. Come on, everybody would agree. In that case, you could do zochalam shavfanam.
When I make the dough by, let's say, one of my bakeries, I should be claiming it for myself?
Yes, we should have the ownership of it, so then there's no issue. That takes away from the need, and we could do zochalam shavfanam. Okay.
Or a pizza store.
Okay, so because I have to have a Shemesh Shabbos
thing. Yeah,
if I take ownership of it, then it's a complete schus what I'm doing for him. It's a complete schus what I'm doing for him, and I can do Jizach Olam Shabbos for him. But I don't need to be my mission of the tevel matzah, or the tevel dough. It belongs to the CRC, so then I can do the hafrasha because it's my stuff, and I'm allowed to do it for him as Jizach Olam.
What's the big deal with getting of shlichus? Because the new stuff coming in, is that the only issue?
Well,
I'm not going to re-argue the whole thing. But,
right.
But now, that's the only problem.
And then there are minimal problems, which are small problems, which is like, what happens if Rabbi Abraham can't do it today? He gets you to do it for him. You know, well, we can move the shlichus around. What happens if he retires and we get a new person to do it? So we have to redo everything. And also the shlichus is, do we have to go to the owner to get the shlichus? Let's say, it's a big factor. The owner never shows up over there. So we just talk to the manager. We have questions about that. Could the manager give me the mind of me a shlichus when he's not the owner, when he's not here? We have questions like that. There may be technicalities of getting the shlichus out when I'm not. I never see the owner. There is no owner. He's, you know, he didn't like a book. Okay. The last is about the act of the fresh itself. That's like this. Okay, the first is, he's got to make sure that he says his nusach, says that for Blei L'Raka it happens only after it gets baked, because that's the way you're supposed to do Blei L'Raka. So he just has to do it right. That's not such a big deal. And the way they say the nusach is, they say, I want the fresh to happen, you know, half an hour after they bake the dough, after they, mix the dough. This way it gives someone who's on hand a chance to do hafrasha in the traditional manner. Okay? If someone's actually standing there in the bakery, they can make the dough, take off a piece, and do real hafrasha. So you don't take away the mitzvah from that guy, so we take it away in half an hour. Okay? Those are not such big deals. Okay. The next thing is that it's really long. There's a lot to say for each one of these bakeries. There's a whole to-do what you have to say in order to make the hafrasha work. So in Hatzvi, he said that you're not allowed to do that. Okay? He had said in his case, you're not allowed to do... You're not allowed to say, I skipped past that. It's such a long thing to say. The guy wants, instead of reading that whole spiel, he wants to say, I'm being marfet like it says on my paper. Okay? So the Hatzvi says that you can't do that. He says it doesn't work. In his case, he says it doesn't work. Chazanish says that it does work. Chazanish says it's okay to say that I'm being marfet according to what it says on the paper. And we said at that time that it can sign that even Hatzvi would be moida. In our case, where the nusach is official and written up, and it's designating a specific thing, that even he would agree that you're allowed to do the hafrasha. You're allowed to say, I'm doing the hafrasha according to whatever it says on my paper. According to the official nusach, he would have agreed you're allowed to do it. Okay, we're almost done. Okay. The way the nusach is set up, it says that the person doing the hafrasha is supposed to make a bracha. Okay, he's supposed to say a bracha. If he knows the company's going to be working, he should be making a bracha. Okay, so Shlomo asked on that it's kamat the fairishin among Avram that you can't do that. That when you're setting something in motion, and it will not be chal until later, in this case the pidyon haben, or in our case the hafrasha, you're doing the actions, and tomorrow the kinyan is going to be chal, what you're trying to do is going to be chal. You can't make a bracha not when you said it, and not when it's chal. Neither one of them, you lose the bracha by you cannot make a bracha either one of those times. For that kind of a mitzvah, in fact, that's why he said not to do it because you don't lose the mitzvah. So by us, when the person is doing the hafrasha today, that should be chal, right now, should be chal in an hour from now. He's in, when they mix flour and water, then it should be hafrasha. Seemingly, there's no basis for making a bracha. So I don't have an answer. We don't have an answer to that question. What should be the basis for saying you're allowed to make a bracha? Okay, most of the people who I know don't actually make the bracha. Oh, I'm just saying it's in the official nusach. Great people wrote those nuschos, and it's we don't have an answer to that. Okay, and okay.
We do it.
But there's no reason for it. The mother wrote, you can't make a bracha. You should not. No, that doesn't make a bracha. You can't. I don't think it does. You can't make a bracha.
Is that a problem itself?
That you lose the bracha?
Yeah.
That's true. I forgot to mention that. The mother wrote. That's the mother wrote that you lose the bracha. So he. I forgot that part. Rosh Hashanah says. Right. No, no, no. You're right. So Rosh Hashanah says, he says, you're not allowed to make a bracha. That's why he says, not to the pidyon of Ben. He says, and Rosh Hashanah says, so Mamela, why are we putting, sending people up to this kind of a system where they're going to lose out on the bracha? I just said that you're not allowed to make the bracha, but you're heat. Goes another time and says, so why would we make a system where you lose out on bracha? Now,
what's the suggestion?
He didn't lose out on bracha, so he says, don't do the mitzvah either. You know, so, okay. Last is, there's a little thing, which is that when you, there's a thing that you have to be mitzayin, the makam, you have to say where the chal is, where the chum is going to be, and that is, we satisfy that. That's good enough. What we do is enough to satisfy that. But there is one last thing is that the Rama says that the minhag is to always be mafresh kazayas. Okay, the Rama says it goes to mafresh kazayas. We talked about why. Not so clear why you have to mafresh kazayas. We talked that you have to mafresh kazayas, and of course we're not mafresh kazayas, and we don't do it for logistical reasons. You know, you mafresh kazayas for each time to do it better. We have to send truckloads full of tevel. We have truckloads full of tevel. So we cut it down so we make it a quarter of a gram, a twentieth of a gram, a tiny little bit, so we get hundreds and hundreds of our brush out of our thing. But Lamai says we're missing out on this minute, whatever the basis for that minute is.